Anna Vinderhan is a Norwegian artist. So Jana, welcome. Could you explain us what type of sound you are interested in and you are working in?
Well, more than being interested in the sounds, I'm interested in where they come from and who makes them. And also, of course, especially that they lie outside our reach of hearing. And from places that is not very accessible for people. But first and foremost is the story from where I record it and the issues that are at stake at that place.
So it's not like a melodic sound?
Well, I'm not so interested in the sound for the sake of the sound. But of course, when I am making compositions out of it and play a concert, I will take some compositional choices. And the listening process or the listening experience is, of course, also very important for me. So it's a slightly sort of contradiction in that, maybe, but never kind of without the story.
And how do your background in biology does influence your practice, like, or your inspiration? Or?
Well, I would rather say that my starting point was when I was very young and grew up by the ocean, and also part of the year by the largest lake in Norway, where in the 70s this lake almost died because of algae invasion, because of course, both sewage problem and farmland off-run. I have always been concerned with ecosystems that are surrounding us and what we are doing with them, and of course, particularly underwater and the life under the surface that we know pretty little about.
So you are in Normandy, in France, because we are in the École Supérieure d'Art et Média Cancherbourg, a school of art, and you are involved in a research project around the removing of dams in the river Lorne. And so how do you link this type of project with your work?
Yeah, I mean, I started to study science to become a marine biologist. So I spent a few years studying mathematics, chemistry, biochemistry, fish ecology. But then I moved over to study art, and since now 10 years I kind of come back to my interest of under the surface and everything that has to do with water and how we're treating the water, which is covering like over 70% of our planet.
Maybe the background in biology is starting from your knowledge in biology and trying,
But I think, you know, this type of project is a very familiar way of working for me. I mean, I've done similar type of project and work process during many years now, and have involved scientists that know more about what I get interested in learning more about, which I have collaborated with, but mainly in concerns with the oceans. So I see my work is like this anyway. So it's not such a kind of big difference. Do you want me to say it's different? I mean, I don't quite get it. Because it's like,
no idea.
Because it's, you know, it's not as if my work is anything different than this. So it's for me, it's like
it's
a very, known for me way of working. Go out, investigate, and ask questions. Find interesting issues that or things that are at stake in this particular project. And of course, here there was a sort of slightly, I don't know whether it's a sort of miscommunication or not understanding of what was actually going on. I mean, on the first trip we did, we found that it was a lot of kind of different understanding of what was going on, and the reasons for removing the dams, and it was interesting to just get a kind of view or listen into to you know, people's opinion about this. And then next, now a year later, I think we're kind of concentrating more on what we're actually going to focus on, and but still working closely with the local people.
And do you think that it's difficult to be considered in the field of the contemporary arts when you are a practice like yours, based on sound and with no image? And
well, I often say that I know exactly what I'm doing myself, but I'm not quite sure what it's called. So whether it's, you know, I see that it catches interest from people, and but for me, the important thing is like really to spread, to find a way to kind of spread the word. And I work with a label in London, Touch, for example. And of course, I reach much more people by their world distribution network than I would in a white cube situation where I might meet kind of 100 people, whereas if this is actually spread all over the world, you know. And that's not because I want to be spreading my name and me myself as an artist, but to get the people, that it becomes general knowledge that fish also uses sound, and they even choose their mates by sound, for example, you know, and that we can hopefully gain some more questioning and respect for the creatures living in the ocean and also elsewhere on the planet, of course.
And do you use the CD with his physical aspect and his different approach as in the same way as when you are doing a performance? Is it thinking in the same way or nothing?
Yeah, it is a very different thing to think around making a CD than it is a performance, because of course when I have a performance I have more power over how it's heard, and I prefer to stand in the middle so I can hear the same as the audience is hearing, even though I haven't quite solved the kind of multi-channel problem of that you actually I have the best spot, so preferably I would want everybody with me, you know, in the middle, that we can kind of hear the same thing. But anyway, this is an ongoing investigation, I would rather say. This live performance format, more kind of, you know, the installation form of showing the work. I wouldn't kind of grade liking better or less, or, you know. But it's of course a situation where the audience can choose their place to listen. They can choose their time much more, and they can, you know, move around, choose their position to listen, go away, come back again, you know, or whatever, you know. So it's and then they can go and read something, or they can, you know. So you have a kind of open situation. When with a CD, you have kind of really no control. You have to get to let go of the control of what speakers it's played back on, because it could be that people are playing it back in their car and they lose half the frequencies because of the car noise, or the, you know, and or they can maybe they play it on the system of their just a computer speakers, you know. So you have to kind of make something and listen back yourself to all different types of speakers, so you have some idea. You know, but you can never, you let go of that control. And it has a beginning and an end. It's more kind of strict format of, if you think of it as kind of release, as normal with a beginning and an end. Yeah.
And you make some photo and some pictures and some videos. And how
do you think this type of, I don't know, documents or something,
Is it the same as the sound you make, or is it the same status for you? Is it
if it's the same
status, like the same thing as do you have the same approach? Is it yeah?
No, I've not been showing photos or videos in any kind of installation work, neither drawings yet. I have had some videos. Actually, that's not true, because I actually had a video installation at the festival some few years ago. But yeah,
it was the first time. Two years ago.
Hang on, I've been. No, it's not true. I've been playing with having a video behind me when I've been playing.
But to think of it
as a kind of piece, I have a couple of pieces that you can download for your iPhone. I mean, particularly not necessarily iPhone, but a small screen. And it was made for a small screen. It's one film from Seoul in South Korea and one from Greenland. Called Evaporation, and they were actually made for small screens. I mean, that's a few years back, but I haven't actually shown a video piece in a gallery situation. But in terms of photography, and it's been to document the field trips mainly, and you know, to communicate to people when I do presentations what I'm up to, really.